Welcome to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined once again by our Tribe beat writer, Paul Hoynes. Paul, good to hear from you. It's you're back from Goodyear, and everything's going well. After you left, the Indians have won a couple games in a row.
Yeah, they've been they got Mike Napoli, and they started hitting. I mean, Napoli hasn't had anything to do with it, but you know, they came back today, and yesterday they won a split squad game, 23 hits against the Angels, and 15 runs. So they're rolling right now.
Well, yeah, it was the first time that they swept both ends of a split squad spring, you know, matchup since I believe 2015. So you know, and the bats have really come alive, not just from the regulars, but the guys down the order and the guys trying to win spots are hitting the ball as well.
Yeah, a lot of young kids are really playing well. You know, Greg Allen, Francisco Mejia, Nelly Rodriguez, you know, Gio Urshela is you know, swinging the bat well. You know, Manny Acta used to say that you could always get a pretty good idea of a team's farm system in spring training in the late innings. When you put the young guys in, do you win the games or do they lose the games? And so far, the Indians' farm system is showing up pretty well, especially offensively.
Well, and it also helps that they've got some veteran arms coming in there in the late innings of some of these spring training games. I mean, sure, you had your Nick Goody and your Tyler Olson, you know, make appearances the last couple of days. Goody, I believe, gave up his first run of the spring today. But, you know, guys like Matt Belisle came in the late innings of Thursday's game and really, you know, sort of held things where they needed to be.
Yeah, you know, and like you said, you know, those are veteran guys, but, and you know, like you indicated, they're fighting for jobs, you know. So, you know, they've got to kind of jump in, you know, with both feet and just get it going, and because they've got to show what they can do now. And I think, you know, usually with the veteran guys, like, we haven't seen Allen or Andrew Miller yet, and, you know, they've given them time to get ready. But, you know, Belisle came to camp over the weekend, signed a minor league deal, and he's anxious to show what he can do, and, you know, he's got the track record to prove it.
Well, you talk about veteran guys who are trying to prove something, and you alluded to it a minute ago, but the Indians did bring Mike Napoli into camp. It's sort of, like you said, like you've written, it's a unique situation for both Napoli and for the Indians, because there really isn't a spot for him here, and he's more, you know, auditioning for other teams. Tito said that he will probably get his legs under him the end of this week and maybe get into a game Saturday or Sunday. But, you know, what's your take on the Indians bringing Napoli back?
Yeah, it's an interesting move, Joe. I don't think, you know, I think, you know, they've it's happened before, you know, I think with different teams where they bring back a guy, but they're not as public as they are, as this has been. This is like right from the get-go, they said, hey, you know, we're bringing you back. It's great to have you back. We appreciate what you did for us. But there's no chance to win a job. This is you know, a favor to you to get you out of the Lost Boys Club down in Florida and to get you into a big league camp, have you play some, you know, Cactus League games, have the 29 other teams take a look at you to see if you can get a job. And, oh, by the way, you know, if somebody gets hurt or, you know, there's a trade or, you know, anything, you know, you might have a chance to make this club. But right now, you know, plan on being here, but not, you know, rent. Don't buy.
That's good advice. Yeah. And a guy who could, even if there was an injury that came up, a guy who could, just by his performance, maybe, you know, block Napoli's path would be a Bobby Bradley who's hitting the ball well, but he's probably still a year or a couple of months into a year away from being a candidate, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think, you know, You know, he played all year at Double A last year. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up, Joe. I think, you know, maybe he starts the year at Double A. They move him up quickly to Triple A. But you know, I would be really surprised if he, you know, he's not a candidate to make the big league club. I'm sure they told him that, you know, in their one-on-one meetings in spring training. And, you know, this is his first camp. You know, he's played very well. He came to camp 30 pounds lighter. He's, you know, he really impressed the coaching staff, especially Francona, but he needs to play. He needs to go to AAA and play, or AA, you know, but he needs at least another season of a minor league ball.
So we've seen Francisco Mejia, you know, briefly at the big league level. He's in camp right now and hitting the ball. He came up today and got a pinch hit RBI single and, you know, helped the Indians tie the game up, the game they eventually won on a Giovanni Urshela base hit. You know, Mejia has done pretty much everything they've asked of him at the plate so far, right?
Oh, yeah. He's you know, as Francona said the other day, he's probably their best minor league hitting prospect. Unfortunately, you know, his best position is catcher, and he's you know, he's Perez and Gomes are in front of him, and right now, you know, he's going to have to go somewhere. He might be with Bradley, you know, at Double A or Triple A. I would imagine he'd start the season there, catch there, but I think, you know, there's an opening, you know, for him, Joe. I mean, that's why they had him play third base in the Arizona Fall League. You know, Mike Chernoff said that he's a good enough athlete, he could even play in the outfield. You know, they could if that's the case, and if an opportunity arises, or, you know, if somebody gets hurt or somebody gets traded, or, you know, somebody's underperforming and they need some offense, you know, in the first part of the season, even the second part of the season, I think they wouldn't hesitate to bring him up, even if he's not catching.
Right. Another, you know, veteran guy in the mix trying to earn a spot is Melvin Upton. He homered in the split squad games. He put the Indians in front against Seattle with a two-run homer. Led off the game today against the Dodgers. Where does he fit in the mix if somebody like let's say a Tyler Naquin continues to play well? Naquin had a hit today and made a nice defensive play to end the game in left field.
Yeah, you know, I think him and Rajah Davis kind of are in the same boat. You know, two veteran right-handed hitters. You know, if Guyer isn't ready to open the season, if Brantley isn't ready to open the season, that creates some holes, some openings in the outfield. And, you know, they're outfielders, you know, most of the starters, or all three of the starters, projected starters, are left-handed hitters. So you're going to need some right-handed hitters to balance that. And, you know, Naquin, you know, to his misfortune, I guess, it also hits left-handed. But, you know, he's off to a good start in camp as well. So, you know, I think, you know, with the wild cards are Brantley and Guyer. I mean, the outfield can really shift around if they aren't ready to open the season. And, you know, I thought Brantley might be ready, but I, you know, from listening to, you know, the interview with Tito this morning, where he's still working on running backwards and forwards, you know, he hasn't cut yet. You know, they've been always so careful with him. I don't think, you know, I'm leaning more toward he might not be ready, and I don't think Guyer's going to be ready. I really don't think so. I think he's taking some dry swings now, but I don't know. It's going to be really touch and go, and there's really no reason to push him if you got all these outfielders in camp.
Well, one of the things they mentioned about Guyer is that he's swinging an axe-handle bat now to see if that can maybe take some of the pressure and the strain off of that wrist. Those axe handle bats are becoming more and more popular among hitters. I know Lindor uses one. Abelmonte uses one. In fact, Lindor hit a home run with Abelmonte's bat because it was an axe handle bat, and it was the only the one like his in a game against Baltimore late in the season last year.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I mean maybe that'll take some pressure off the wrist, and let him heal faster. But right now I don't think he hasn't taken BP. I don't think he's even hitting the cage yet. So, he's got a ways to go. So, but who knows? Maybe this surgery will take, he can get on the fast track, and come around and be ready for opening day. But with the season opens March 29th, I don't know. I think he'd have to cover a lot of ground between then and now.
We've talked at length about the guys who are having really good springs. Anybody that stands out who might be struggling a little bit or getting off to maybe a slow start? I know maybe Dan Otero stands out. He's given up a few runs and struggled to get guys out.
Yeah, I think, Otero had two rough outings, very uncharacteristic of him. He walked three guys in the one inning, and all last season he walked nine guys. So I think that's just that's just spring training, a veteran guy getting ready. He got himself into a jam. I think he's guaranteed a spot pretty much, so if he's healthy. So I think that's you've got to kind of take the good with the bad in spring training, and you can't overreact unless it's really it's apparent. I remember watching Brian Shaw in spring training, and he was terrible in spring training. I mean, he was god awful, and you'd wonder and said, is this the same guy that we that just made 80 appearances last season? Is it, did this catch up to him? And he would always experiment with a different pitch, and then in the last two or three appearances he'd kick it in and he'd be ready for the season. So I'm not worried about Otero. Lindor was got one hit, maybe two hits. I'm not worried about him. I think, if a guy like Kipnis was struggling a little bit, I think that would be a concern. But he got off to a great start. So I think you can get fooled in spring training both ways. Either you can get down on a player or you can overrate a player. So it's a dangerous time of year.
Well, in fact, it's quite the opposite, what you mentioned about Jason Kipnis. Were you surprised that he's come out and just hit the ball over the park and hit the ball for power? And is a chippy kippy something the Indians need to have during the season?
Yeah, I think they need this guy. They need him with kind of a chip on his shoulder. I think he's a better player. He says he's a better player when, people are doubting him and he's got something to prove. And they could definitely use that. They lost a good chunk of offense with Austin Jackson and Jay Bruce and Carlos Santana, and they're going to need him to come back and produce and be a productive player.
So the plan is for the Indians to leak at least one Jason Kipnis trade rumor per month this season, just to sort of keep that intravenously going and it'll sustain him through the whole season, right? That's a good plan.
Yeah, I think so. Or they get somebody on Twitter to stir him up. He's one of those guys, he can't stay away from Twitter, and they kind of irritate him, I think. That gets under his skin a little bit.
Well, Paul, I mean, you are the author of the ultimate Jason Kipnis challenge there from late 2016. I think as well as anybody what challenging Kipnis is can lead to.
Yeah, you end up in the lake.
That's where you end up. You end up in Lake Erie. That's great. All right. So, we've got a week of games under our belt so far. We've things we've learned about the team right now is that their starting pitchers have been really good so far. They're able to score runs in bunches late in these spring training games. What else do we know about this team from observing these first eight or so games?
Yeah, I think, we've seen some of the younger players, Willie Castro and Yu Chang. I mean, they they played Chang around, moved him around a little bit. He's been playing some third base, and he played mostly shortstop at Double A last year, Akron, and you could tell he's a little unsure of himself at third base. It probably cost him a game against Milwaukee. Castro, swung a bat well, but has made a couple errors at shortstop along with Chang as well. And I just think those are young guys, kind of feeling their way in their first big league camp. We also, we've gotten a look at Rashad Davis and Upton, and it's, it looks like that's going to be a decision that's going to, probably come down to, late March to see how they fit on this club. But those guys are getting a chance early. We're getting a chance to see them, and I think that's the way they wanted it, to have them, have Upton and Davis, get their bats early, show what they can do, and then, help them make a decision on that. And like you said, with Belle Isle, I mean, that's another guy we're going to see, a couple appearances early, a lot of appearances early from him. So yeah, I think that's, the plan. I'm anxious to see, with how Allen and Miller look when they get back on the mound, because they pitched so much during the regular season last year that I think they go out of their way, Francona and Carl Willis go out of their way to make sure that they're rested. They get enough rest in spring training. So we'll see how they come back from big seasons.
Yeah, that really is the only, remaining question that hasn't been addressed to some degree so far in spring training is the Miller and Allen question and what the Indians have there and how they're going to approach their workload this year. I think, like you said, it'll get answered, probably at some point this week. I know Miller went home with the flu-like symptoms at some point today or yesterday. So, that I guess there's a flu bug that's going around through all of spring training. I know the Dodgers got hit with it a little bit. They scratched their starter on Thursday.
Yeah, the Dodgers sent, 21 guys home or something?
Wow.
21 players and staff members? Yeah, I know Miller, when I was out there, was battling the flu. So maybe, I don't know if that came back. If he had a relapse, I'm not sure. But I think he'll be okay. Well, Francona was joking around. He goes, I think he'll make the team. So, Joe, if you heard a squeaky toy, that was my dog here.
Yeah,
under my foot. So.
Well, he was agreeing with it all. No, I think if Andrew Miller didn't weigh about 147 pounds soaking wet, he might be able to fight the flu off if he had a little more meat on him. But
he does not look healthy right now.
All right. Well, as we continue to move forward. Get back here on the podcast and give you updates. But this is what we've seen so far. And so far, got to admit, Hoynesy, everything is looking, pretty positive, and they are pretty much who we think they are at this point in spring training.
Yeah, like you said earlier, I mean, you got to be impressed with the way Kluber and Bauer. Have we seen Carrasco yet? I don't know if Carrasco.
We haven't seen Cookie yet, and we've seen Clevinger and Meredith pitch twice,
and Tomlin pitch. So
and Tomlin,
So I don't know what the deal is with Carrasco. I know last year he had some elbow problems in spring training. There was an issue if he was going to open on the DL or not, and then he goes out and has the best season of his career. So maybe they're slow going him a little bit too. But that's something we'll have to look into. But, that's a positive. That rotation is a positive. I know Olsen's given up a couple runs, Otero and Goody, but I don't think that's a red flag yet. And offensively, you've got to like the way, the young guys have swung the bat, Bradley and and Greg Allen and Mejia, you know, Urshela, you know, even, you know, Castro and Chang have swung the bat well. And, you know, that's encouraging. That's, you know, that gives you some hope, you know, for the future. That's, you know, how you build, how you keep a franchise viable. You know, so, you know, it's, you know, the next, you know, so I think we'll start seeing the veterans play a little more now. You know, they're playing what, 3-4 innings now.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll start to see them get stretched out in the second, third week of spring training. You know, we'll see. I'd like to see a little more of Yonder Alonso. We haven't seen him swing the bat much. I know he hit the home run his first at bat, but since then, you know, I don't think that's a worry, but it'll be good to see him get some innings and Encarnacion as well.
All right. And, you know, you mentioned the guys like Mejia and Allen and even Yandy Diaz. These are, you know, young guys who, when people talk about the Indians, you know, division championship and, you know, the postseason windows and things like that, and how long do these windows stay open, you know, these are guys, including, you know, Merritt and Tyler Olson, these are guys who could have something to say about how long that window stays open if they can, you know, these guys are knocking on the door right now of being big league guys.
Yeah, you know, and you know, it opens up so many possibilities. I mean, you know, when you have talent coming, you know, you can look at your veteran guys and do we make a deal? Do we make a decision? Do we let this guy turn free agent? Do we try to keep him? You know, who do we have in the pipeline? And, you know, it's always an easier job when you have talent in the pipeline instead of, you know, just a void. So, you know, and so they've done a really good job in the farm system. They're a little thin, you know, after Merritt, you look at the rotation, the possible starters, Plutko and Morimondo, you know, I guess those are the next two guys up. And, you know, that's a little thin to me, but that rotation, you know, with the exception of Tomlin, who can be a free agent at the end of the year, that should stay together. I think they're together till at least 2020. So, you know, that's, you know, you've got time to develop. You've got time to bring in a starter if you need to. So, you know, that's all good stuff.
All right, Oinze, we will check in with you again next week as the Indians get slowly but ever closer to opening up the season in Seattle.
All right, Joe. Thanks, man.